goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things is no law. And so we've already considered the first two aspects of the fruit, love and joy. And so it's one fruit with nine aspects to it. And we say that because it's the word fruit is in the singular. It's not fruits, it's fruit. And so we say there's nine aspects to it. And so one of the things that we can mention is if you have the fruit, if you've been filled by the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit or from the Spirit, you have access to all nine aspects. And so that's important because we as Christians, we have to gain experience with when and how to direct the different aspects. And so that's something that comes with maturing. And so I like to repeat this, and I'll continue to repeat this. So remember, the fruit is realized in the realm of the human spirit. And so it's where our rational thinking, that's where the fruit is going to be realized. And the reason I say that is there's too many Christians out there that are running around and they're trying to realize things in the realm of their human soul. And so then the soul becomes the emphasis. And so they're trying to realize things in the realm of their human soul and they're doing things in their own strength. And so they can realize things in their human soul to varying degrees of success, right? But the things that they're realizing in their soul, that's going to be dependent upon situations and circumstances. And the fruit of the Spirit is different. The fruit of the Spirit is different. It's not dependent upon externals. It's dependent upon, rather on the filling from the Spirit. And so another thing I like to mention is all of the aspects of the fruit from the Spirit are supernatural. They're supernatural. And so, in other words, they can't be realized by an unbeliever. Nor are they going to be realized by a carnal Christian. So when we're carnal, yes, we might think we're experiencing love, joy, peace. I'll just mention the first three aspects of the fruit, right? The unsaved believe that they're experiencing those things to different degrees. Love, joy, peace. But they are not the same thing as the fruit from the Spirit. These are completely different. These are rational, mental, that are realized in the human spirit. The things that the unsaved or the world system talks about with love, joy, and peace, those are things that are typically, they're talking about experiencing in the realm of the human soul. It's a different quality altogether. And those things typically are going to be dependent upon certain things. So certain external things. The Holy Spirit, when He fills us, we have access to these aspects from the fruit. Not dependent upon externals. So we can experience these things in the realm of our human spirit, regardless of what the situation is or the circumstances are. And so, excuse me. I think I had a dry pretzel or something. I scratched my throat. And so it's important to realize and to make these distinctions because it's easy for people to think about these words, these terms. And misapply the world standard to what these mean. They are a different quality altogether that only a spiritual Christian can experience or realize. And so that's important. And so we've talked about the first two aspects, of the fruit, love and joy. And today we are we're going to talk about peace. And so I guess one last point before I open up with a word of prayer is when we look at scripture, we can see, hopefully we see and we understand that the Lord's cross work and the application of his work were necessary for humans to realize the qualities of these things that God provides for us. And so for a believer to realize God's quality of these things, his cross work was absolutely necessary. And so the fruit from the Spirit are Christ's qualities that couldn't be realized prior to the day of Pentecost. And so before I continue on, let's open the word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather and to relate to your truths and to have opportunity to be with one another. And we would pray your Spirit would bless us in this time, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so, you know, I mentioned that the unsaved, they don't have the capacity to realize the fruit from the Spirit. If you turn with me back to Romans chapter 3, and let me just drop back to, let's see. You can see that we're talking about the unsaved. Let me just back up to verse 11 and 12. It says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that is doing kindness. No, not one. And so I just kind of wanted you to see the they here. Now, the verse I want is verse 17. And a way, now in the King James it says the way, it's a way. A way of peace have they not known. And so they haven't experientially known, not the way, but they didn't experientially know a way of peace. Now, we hear about peace all the time, right? Man wants peace, peace on earth. Man wants internal peace, tranquility. But unsaved man does not know a way of peace. And so when we think about that, when we think about what we have access to and the potential for this peace from God, and so we have, and so we'll see in scripture, not only do we have through the cross work, we have peace facing God, we have peace with God, lack of enmity, but we can also, and we all have, as Christians, have the potential for peace from God. And so, the peace with God is a result of our position in Christ, being clothed in Christ. The peace from God is a potential we have because of the filling up from the Spirit. And so let's go back into the upper room if we could. And so it's interesting, we keep finding ourselves back in the upper room, going through the different aspects of the fruit from the Spirit. And in John chapter 14, I'm just going to pick up a couple verses here to pick up his words on the coming of the Holy Spirit and the necessity for him to go, and him and the Father were going to send the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 14, let me just pick up in verse 16 here. And here the Lord says, and I will King James says pray. It should be ask, and it's ask as an equal. And so here, the Lord in the upper room, he says to his disciples, I will ask as an equal the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And so another comforter of the same kind. He's leaving, and when he leaves and returns to the Father, him and the Father are going to send the Holy Spirit. And we see this another comfort of the same kind. He says that he may be with you into the age. And then in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. So here we see the reference to the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells alongside you and shall be in you. Okay, so we're tying that in. Now I want to just go ahead and look across the page to verse 26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The idea of name is character here. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27. Peace. So he's going to bring peace up. Peace I send to you. I leave, I would just translate it, send. Peace I send to you, my peace I give unto you. Now, if you remember when we looked at the other two aspects of the fruit that we covered, love and joy, in the upper room, we also had references to the Lord saying, my love, my joy. Now we have my peace. And so this is one of the ways you can connect. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. This is probably the short way that you can show that the fruit from the Spirit is the character of Christ. And so here he's saying, I give unto you in my peace, not as the world gives, I unto you. And so not as the world giveth. And so the world and the unsaved of the world, they can have a quality of peace. But it's not the same kind of peace. The kind of peace you can have in the world is going to be dependent upon externals. The peace that we've been given by the Father and by the Son through the Holy Spirit, not dependent upon the externals. And so he says, stop letting your heart be troubled. And so here we can see peace being contrasted with a troubled heart, a larger term that includes the mind, the emotions, and the will. Stop letting your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so interesting here you see trouble and afraid. And so peace is going to act as a counterbalance to those, if you will. And so you see that contrast here. Let me go ahead and go to John 16:33. And we see he comes back to peace here. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. And so here we see peace contrasted to tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so, again, this peace is a different peace than what the unsaved in it experience or have. This is dependent upon Christ's cross work. It's dependent upon the filling from the Holy Spirit. And this peace is a peace like the other aspects of the fruit that's realized in the realm of the human spirit. And so this peace is just a mental unruffledness of mind. And now, it's interesting when you think about peace and joy, they go together. Remember, the definition for joy is a mental willingness to accept and appreciate any circumstances or any circumstance without resentment or frustration. And so now when we have peace, which is an untroubled or unruffled mind, and we can see that this quality of peace is not dependent upon circumstances, not dependent upon externals. It's going to be quite different than the peace that an individual would try to achieve in his own strength, for instance. Now, peace occurs approximately 90 times in the New Testament, the word for peace. 89 to 92, depending on how we handle people. So I say approximately 90 times. It was interesting to me that you have at least one occurrence in every single New Testament book. At least one occurrence in every New Testament book you have mention of peace. And so in the New Testament, we also have five times where we have the God of peace mentioned. The God of peace. And so let me just turn back to Romans. When I say turn back, because the fan is blowing my my pages over here. But let's go to Romans 15:33. And so, anyway, our New Testament definition for peace is just an untroubled or unruffled mind, independent of circumstances, that is able to confront an outcome without fear, without fear. And so it's an untroubled or unruffled mind, independent of circumstances. And it's able to confront any outcome without fear. Now in Romans, I'm just going to pivot. Now I'm not going to go to all of these verses. Did I just take 20 minutes to do an introduction here, right? Have I been up here that long? Okay. I don't know what happened, but I don't have a lot of time. It feels like. Anyway, in Romans 15:33, we're looking at the God of peace. And so I'm just going to go to one place in light of time. But here in Romans 15:33, now the God of peace, not be, as the King James supplies the subjunctive here, verb, now the God of peace is with you all. Amen. And so it's associated with you all, the God of peace. And so we see this title now, the God of Peace. So it's interesting when you think of the God of Peace. I'm going to give you these other four occurrences. These other four occurrences where you find the God of Peace, they're all very encouraging verses. And so I know some of you like to chase these things a little further. These would be fun verses to look at. These are all encouragement verses. Romans 16:20, Philippians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and Hebrews 13:20. Some of those will be very familiar. You probably could quote them somewhat just by hearing what verses they are. And so the God of peace. And so I came across a statement that was interesting by a guy named William Barclay about peace. And so this is what he said, and it struck me, I thought I would share it with you. He says, peace is not something that a man achieves, but something that man accepts. And I like that because I see a lot of people working really hard in their own strength to try and achieve peace. But it can't be done in your own strength. But you can have it as a result of grace from God. And so the God of peace, if we had time, I would go to those other occurrences of related to the God of peace. But when we start going through the New Testament, we commonly find peace used in a very important way that is often just passed over as inconsequential. And that's in readings. Almost most of all of your New Testament epistles, you will find the greeting, grace is to you and peace. Now that's not insignificant. That's just not some little polite statement. You know, grace will just simply say, unmerited favor is to you, and peace. And so this peace that we have peace with God and we have peace from God. And it's interesting you have these two tied together, grace, unmerited favor, and peace. And so I like that comment by Barclay that peace is not something that man achieves, but something that man accepts. And so, anyway, let me just illustrate one of the greetings. Now we can find this, and you find it also used many times in salutations or conclusions and the concluding remarks of the epistles. We're supposed to be doing a series in Galatians. Let me pick the intro there, but we could go, most of the uses of this greeting, grace is to you and peace, you'll find usually in the first three verses of an epistle. I think Romans is in verse 7, but other than that, I think most of them are going to be in the first three or four verses. But in Galatians, we probably, 1:3. Grace, and I would change the B to is, grace is to you and peace from God the Father. And so here you have an apo from. And so that I tend to understand then the peace that's being talked about in the greetings. He's not talking about peace with God that we have, but we're talking about the peace from God, the fruit from the Spirit, in other words. And so this would be one of the reasons why I would understand in the, in these greetings, I would take it as the peace from God, the fruit from the Spirit, the aspect of the unruffled or untroubled mind. And so grace is to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see it there in a greeting. Let me just pick one, that we see out of the closing of an epistle. Let's just go over to 2 Peter 3:14. Here Peter says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, I guess I should have read verse 13. Let me do that. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, it's interesting that you may be found by him in peace. In peace. Now, I'm gonna try an illustration here. I don't know if it'll work. But, you know, to be found in him by peace when he supplies the peace. If you were in a desert and somebody supplied you a well with unlimited water, it would be pretty silly for you to be thirsting and dehydrated and so forth, right? Well, it's kind of the same thing for a Christian when it comes to the fruit from the Spirit. We've been provided these riches, these qualities of Christ. It makes no sense to be dehydrated from these. We should be fully hydrated with all of the aspects from the fruit because they're freely provided to us and we have complete access to them. And so to be found in him anyway. And so commonly we find it used in these important New Testament greetings and in the salutations or closing remarks, as you can see. Now I mentioned peace. We can look at peace in two different ways, a couple different ways. And so we have peace with God. And so we have a lack of enmity with God. That's true of all Christians. And so we can see that, let's just go back to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to go ahead and pick up the last verse in chapter 4 as well. And so at 4:25, speaking of our Lord, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And so so you have reference there to the cross work and the resurrection. Now in 5:1 it says, therefore being justified or declared righteous out from faith, we have peace. And the King James says, with God. It's just literally cross facing the God. And so we have peace facing the God. And so where are we facing the God? It's in our position from the right hand. We have peace. There's a complete lack of enmity because we're in Christ and the cross work. And so we have peace facing the God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God the Father sees us in Christ. He's completely satisfied by the Lord's cross work on our behalf. And so he can hold nothing against us. We are at complete peace facing the God in our position in Christ. And so we have peace with God. All Christians have peace with the God as a result of the cross work. Now they might not live in the realm of that peace. They might constitute themselves an enemy of God, but God doesn't constitute the Christian an enemy. And so that's important. Now, all Christians have the potential to have peace from God. And so now this peace we're talking about, the peace from God, is this supernatural, unruffled, untroubled mind that's realized in the realm of the